Let's pray together. And then I will be asking you to do some praying for things that I'll mention. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for all of the words that are spoken in this next short while. For the words that I say, but for the words that other folks say. And I also pray for the words that come to us, the words that are in our heads, the words that turn into prayers, the words that turn into thoughts. I pray that those words and those thoughts will be clear and they will be from you. And that we will be able to take some time during or after to think about the words that you have said to us. So I pray for my words. I pray that my words will be yours, Lord. But I pray for the words that come to each of us as this part of the service is happening. Be with us, Lord. Speak to us and help us to listen. Amen. So, things to look for in this talk, okay? First bit is going to be a little bit about Holiday Club. There's going to be a little bit about Daniel. There's going to be a little bit about space. And then there's going to be a little bit about Ramadan. Now, I'm not sure how these things are going to link, but we'll just see how we go. It is Holiday Club very soon. Not next week, nor the week after, but the week after that. And I want to read a story from the Bible, which is the part of the gist of and the theme of where Holiday Club is coming from. So, Daniel, and I'll read you the story, and then we'll see where we go from there. So in the third year of the reign of, I wish I'd practiced this. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these 4 young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Okay, so Okay. We have a series of stories about Daniel that we're going to talk to the kids at Holiday Club about. And the theme of the week is about space. It's called Space Academy. And the children that come in are going to be as if they're training to be astronauts. And the link between the story here and the training to be astronauts is just this idea, this big idea of foreigners in a strange land. Because there is no more, there is a place no more foreign than space. Space changes everything. In space, no one can hear you scream. There's no air out there. On other planets and on other moons, gravity is less. There's all sorts of changes and differences that you would have to cope with in order to go into space. And Daniel's journey through the stories that we are encountering, he is a stranger in a foreign land. And he is being asked to do things which compromise his faith and his beliefs. And all the way through the stories, you can see that there's a list of things that he is not willing to compromise. A list of things that he is not willing to compromise. And with God's strength, he doesn't have to compromise those beliefs and those values in order to be successful in this new country. Now, let's just have a little chat about, we'll come back to some of those thoughts in a second, but just some thoughts about Holiday Club. As always seems to happen, the ratio of boys to girls that have signed up for Holiday Club is 2-1. So there are about 60 or so girls, 30 or so boys. The age range is from 5 up to, would some of them be 11? Would they be 11? They could be 11, okay. If they're going into, yes. So some of them are going into secondary school in September. So from about the age of 5 up to about the age of 11. And more so than in other years, we have a spread that is fairly constant across the year groups. There have been times before where we've had to have 2 or 3 groups in the infants and less groups in the juniors. But this time there are some peaks and troughs, but there's a good number of reception and a good number of year 6, and the spread is across the board. So I'm going to stop for a second, and I'm going to ask you folks to pray about these 90 or so kids. It's 90 at the moment. It'll probably be 100 in a couple of weeks' time, just because of church members who've forgotten to sign their own children in. But they will probably rise to about 100. It'll be a ratio of 2-1, girls to boys. We're trying something different this year, or I think we're going to. We're going to have girls' groups and boys' groups. So pray especially for the teachers who end up with the boys' groups. And I think what we are praying for is fun, safety, and God-built memories. I think if we pray that 100 of these kids become instant Christians, we can pray that if we want, and that'd be lovely. But I think the reality of previous years' experience is that actually if we have a successful Holiday Club, would be one that was fun, that was safe, and gave these children God-based memories. Now remember that all of the people who are helping in Holiday Club, for some of the kids who are coming through their door, we are the closest to Jesus that they have ever encountered. Now that puts quite a lot of pressure on us. But for fun, for safety, and for God-based memories. So, 90-100 kids, 60 girls, 30 boys, a spread of age ranges, and we're going to try and put them into girls and boys groups and see how that works. But if we could, can we pray for Holiday Club, 3 weeks' time, and we'll just give a few short minutes for praying about that adventure that is to come. So, dear Lord, hear our prayers about Holiday Club and the children and the leaders involved. Amen.
Protect them and people refers to when helping in groups, those that lead groups, before you press them upon them, you give them the energies that they need, and ask them your name.
Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for the wonderful activities that YBC puts on, Lord, for all the children in this area. I just want to thank you, Lord, for all the people who are organising this and for all the helpers who will be there on hand. But Lord, I just pray for all the youngsters that will be walking through this door, Lord. I just pray that you will just watch over them, Lord. That you will just give them sight and that you will just give them, Lord, such a wonderful time as they begin to explore and run around in this building of ours. I just pray, Lord, that every spiritual blessing that you have, that you will just instill on these children's minds. I just thank you, Lord, for all the time that they will all share together. In your holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Children get difficult now, religious knowledge in school. The only way they're going to hear anything about you is to come to things in the country. And I pray for all these children to be respected for the sisters through this time. That just in one little thing that they hear about you, see you there, and make one thing that sometimes in the arms want to know what they want. Pray for the spiritual parts of everything. Thank you, Lord, that these children that are already under this poverty thing, Father, that look at it possible for you with your Holy Spirit to speak to people about how great you are and what a wonderful God you are and that you will give them time and pleasure and comfort and really keep them enough, Father, to enjoy what they do because of you, Jesus. As I say, never is possible. So, in all the people who are wanting to come to this and do their best. Amen.
So Daniel and his friends were forcibly moved from a place which was their culture to another place which was outside of their culture. And God allowed them to find ways where they didn't have to compromise the core things that they believed in. Now, the little chat bit that I want to do now, I haven't finished with this in my head. So, if there are two ways of anything that I say now, right, if there are two ways of taking it, one which makes you go, oh, and the other way which makes you go, oh, can you take the first one? I haven't finished with this. I haven't got myself sorted about what I want to talk about. I suppose the idea of being in one culture and putting yourself in another, and the idea of what Holiday Club is all going to be about, the idea of a Christian being of the world and not being part of the world, all those kind of things. I've actually been thinking about that whilst at work. My school, that a bunch of the young people here go to, we are... Our cohort, the nature of the students that are coming to our school is changing over the years. Florence's year that have just left, I think, was about 60% white, something like that, 30-40% Muslim, and then extras. And over the years, it has moved. And so the current year seven, the first years that are coming in September, the year group that I'm going to be looking after, it's more like 75-80% Muslim. And the nature of that group of kids has really caused me to think about how it must be for them, what it means for us as a school, what it means for me as a Christian, just what it means. And so, like I said, I haven't totally got this sussed. Honestly, if I had, I think there'd be loads of people wanted to hear it, because I think if you can get the secret to how this works sorted, then loads of people would want to hear it. So I'm not finished with what I want to say. So if you have, please have a chat with me afterwards if anything that I say causes you to be concerned about me. But let's just see where we go. So the Muslim folk at my school, and actually especially a couple of the Muslim teachers at school who I've had a load of talks with and a load of chats with about all this kind of stuff. If Daniel was in a foreign culture, then they are in a foreign culture, as much as Christians are in a foreign culture. When we live our lives as God wants us to, I hope that we stand out. And a Muslim living in this country, if they are living their life in the way that they want to, they, at the moment, they stand out. And it's just caused me to think about some parallels between the two. So, especially because of this increasing number of Muslim kids at my school, I've just tried to learn things. So I just wanted to fill you in on some stuff about Ramadan, if that's okay. Now, Ramadan is halfway through. It's the 9th month of the Muslim calendar. I'm sorry if you didn't know this stuff, but when I found out some of these things, I hadn't really sussed all this stuff out. It's a lunar calendar. So it isn't actually necessarily 30 days. It can be 29. It just depends on when you see the new moon and when you see the new moon again. So the first day of Ramadan is the day when the new moon first appears. And that was about 2 weeks ago. So after that day, you're not supposed to eat from sunrise to sunset. Now, I thought that was all it was. And I say all. It's pretty tough work if you live in Iceland. This time of year, there's 1 hour of daylight in Iceland. So they do have special rules about you look for your nearest appropriate country. But there apparently are really hardcore Norwegians who do Ramadan properly, even at this time of year, and will just have a splurge of an eat in that hour where the sun has disappeared. Anyway, I thought that was all it was. But whilst you are fasting, if you mess up a day, you have to make it up somewhere else. So if you can't, if it's too hot and you have to drink water, if you do something you forget and just suddenly help yourself to a biscuit, then you have to make it up. But you also have to make it up, and listen to this, because this is pretty hardcore. If you find that you have deliberately done something wrong that day doesn't count. So if you lie, if you cheat, if you have sexual thoughts during daylight, this is a great one for the teenage lads at school. They are always taking the mickey out of each other. Like a girl will walk along the corridor and all their mates will go, ha ha, I broke your fast. If they think the wrong things, if they lie, if they cheat, it breaks the fast and you have to make it up later. So someone who is really doing Ramadan properly is properly focusing on the things that are important to them, the beliefs that they hold dear. Now, I'm going to read you a thing that was read to me last Tuesday, I think it was. There was a small prayer meeting at Stetchford Baptist on Tuesday night, praying for Muslims in the area and praying for Muslims in the country at this time. And what was read to us at that prayer meeting was Matthew 6. Now, it's quite long, but I will read the whole thing, because during Matthew 6, it talks about fasting and it talks about praying. And this passage has things to say about the things that are important to Muslims. So here we go. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on street corners, to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. And then there is him, Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray with the Lord's Prayer. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, there are five pillars to the Muslim faith. Fasting, praying, charity, and then faith and pilgrimage. Faith is kind of implied in this passage. Pilgrimage is a very different thing. This idea that you have to go at least once in your life to Mecca. But fasting, prayer, and charity are talked about in this very chapter, Matthew 6. And it seems to me that someone who is Muslim will be happy to say, I'm fasting, I'm giving, I'm praying. Whereas Jesus encourages us to do those things privately between us and God. Now the upshot of that is that I don't really think that Muslims see our faith as actually that visible. Which is a strange thing, a strange place to be. Because we're caught then in a bit of a quandary between giving generously in private and God knows. But then Muslim folks that we come across and meet and are friends with and share food with and work with and are happy in their company, they don't know what we are doing. Now, I said this wasn't fully formed. I haven't got an answer to that. But it is worth bearing in mind that a Muslim's faith is a bit more extravagant. Not showy-offy. I have never sensed that from the Muslim folk I work with. But they won't be ashamed of the fact that they are going to pray. I mean, for a starters, in our school, the prayer room has a key. So, oh, where's the key gone? It's often a conversation that is held in the science workroom. I'm now off to pray. Now, I had a little bit of a joke with one of the teachers at school about this. There is a story that in Muhammad's revelation from God about the direction of where Muslim faith should go, God was going to say to the Islamic people, you need to pray 50 times a day. The story goes that Muhammad realized that that was unrealistic and went to God and bargained on the behalf of his people and said, 50 is too many. You could try that, but only a few people will be able to manage it. I suggest 5. And so God agreed, and that's why Islamic folks, Muslims, pray 5 times a day. And I said to my friend, well, you've got it easy because we're told to pray continuously. Now, our prayer continuously is very different to the prayers that Muslims pray. Now, I just want to read to you something that, if I can find it on here, I've kind of got into Twitter recently. I'm not encouraging you to do that. It takes up too much of my time as it is. But I do follow a load of people from various different walks of life. And one of them is an imam from Hampshire. And I like him. I think he's great. I think he does a great deal of good PR for his religion and his faith because he seems a genuinely lovely bloke. So he's on the telly and stuff, so I was surprised I even got an answer from him. Okay, this is me. There's a prayer meeting at a church that is local to mine. We are praying for Muslims during Ramadan. What should we pray? Now on Twitter, you can only type 140 characters. So you type what you want, and then you have to cut bits out, so all the sentences and stuff seem really jumpy. Him. For peace and unity between all communities, that the believers come to common terms and increase in their friendships. Me. Thank you. That's fabulous. Anything specific for you? Him. How very kind. Just that the one God bless us by softening our hearts and granting us the courage to be just. I'll read that again because I'm wondering whether people actually can sense that there's a Bible verse that is very similar to that. It's not supposed to be a test. I'll tell you what it is in a minute. So what can I pray for you? Anything specific for you? Just that the one God bless us by softening our hearts and granting us the courage to be just. I reckon it sounded like, He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Which to me was a nice thing. Micah 6:8, that is, and that's been a feature of our church for the last 10 years or so. And it just struck me that this guy's thoughts were actually reflected by one of the prophets that we believe in. Okay, so the last bit of our little conversation. Oh yes, sorry. I was surprised when I said any prayers specific to you, I thought he was going to say the sort of answer that a Christian would say. Oh yeah, I've got a bit of trouble with my knee. My daughters are playing in a cricket match. I thought it was going to be real specific to life stuff. So I asked my friend about this at school, and he didn't understand what I was talking about. He didn't really see that you could pray to God about your headache. He didn't really see that you could pray to God about the fact that you'd forgotten to go shopping and how on earth were you going to get enough, you know, the nitty-gritty of the day. When we pray to God continually, I would like to think that we don't just pray about Syria and Egypt, we pray about, oh, where are my keys? And our constant relationship praying with God is something that we have that is very, very different. Okay. Oh yeah, right. The prayer meeting on Tuesday has a name. The prayer meeting on Tuesday is called Mahabba. And I understood from looking it up that Mahabba meant love. Now that doesn't tell me very much because love means a load of stuff. I love bacon. I love my family. You would have to hope that those two words mean something different. So I asked him, I hope you don't mind, can I ask you what the attached picture means? And I sent him a picture of this word, Mahabba. Google isn't always helpful. And he wrote back, it means love. Well, I've got that. What sort of love? In the New Testament, there's philios, eros, agape. Do you know which one Mahabba is closest to? And he replied, if I remember right, they are mental, physical, and spiritual types of love. It is more akin to fondness and wishing well for everybody. Fondness and wishing well for everybody. Now, I'm just wondering whether, in this day and age, where the Islamic faith, Muslims in general, are treated with suspicion and scorn by the media and by people who accept that media, what our approach should be to the Muslims that we meet and we work with and we share food with and we live next door to and some of us could be related to. And it did seem to me that Mahabba did seem to be a fairly good approach. Fondness and a wishing well towards. Now, this is the bit that I really haven't formulated properly, so let's just see how it goes. My friend at school, when I ask him about his faith, what I don't like about his discussions with me is his certainty. I was talking to him about the Quran, and I asked him something about it, and I said something about it which belittled it a little bit. I said it was did he believe that it was inspired by God? No, it's the Word of God. Straight away. And I didn't like his certainty. Now that got me thinking about what maybe Muslims don't like about us. And I wonder how I would have responded if he had said, do you know what, I believe it's the Word of God. It's a very different thing being told by somebody, I believe it's the Word of God, to, it's the Word of God. I think a load of the conflict and trouble between Christian groups and Islamic groups over the years has been to do with that idea of certainty. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm right, you're wrong. That can't work. Now, by faith, we believe that we're right. But I put it to you that by faith, so do they. Now, this is the bit where I'm just not sorted about this at all. Okay, so just bear with me. In your dealings with people who follow the words of Muhammad, in your dealing with Muslims, Islamic people, whatever phrase you want to use, in your dealings with them, I'm asking myself these questions. But if you are happy to go along with this, what are you not willing to compromise about your belief? Make yourself a list. Write it down. Think about it. What are you not willing to compromise? If your list is massive, then can I suggest that you are not maybe in the best place to be someone who tries to talk about with a Muslim about their faith. Because in the same way that I felt, my friend was saying, I'm right. That is how they will feel about you. If your list is short, then be prepared to compromise about everything else in order to show mahabba for people that we live next door to, that we work with, that we may be related to. Now I'm going to give this a go. I said this wasn't finished. I need to work out what my things are. I need to work out what my things are. And I think in a conversation with someone who is a proper Muslim believer, or a scholar of their faith, there are going to be things that they are unwilling to compromise about. But if there are lots of Muslims who are like this fella here around Birmingham and in our country, the place for compromise and the place for knowing about each other and the place for learning about each other is going to be a very, very positive place indeed. If we can show mahabba to our Islam friends, if they can show mahabba to us, if we can surprise Muslims by the way that we treat them, I think a lot of people who are Asian expect to be badly treated by white people. If we can surprise them as Christians by actually being lovely and interested and caring and showing mahabba to them, then I think we are doing the job of Jesus. If we tell them, you've got it wrong, I'm not certain that sits comfortably with me and my understanding of where Jesus was. Now, more than happy to have got that wrong. More than happy, because I said this wasn't a finished thing. What am I saying? Find out what you won't compromise on. Think about what you won't compromise on. If your list is long, look for God to use you in other ways. If your list is short, then look for ways to understand and care for and show love to all of the people in our community.